Please take your Bible and turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Just two verses I want to read, verses 9 and 10. 1 Chronicles 4, verse 9. Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. Amen. God bless the reading from his word for his name's sake. Would you bow with me for a moment in prayer, and let's seek the Lord's face together. Loving Father in heaven, it is in Jesus' name we come again to pray for the empowerment of the Spirit of God. We need divine energy. We don't want, Lord, just to preach a sermon, however orthodox, however homiletically correct it might be. We know, Lord, that without that supernatural power that comes from him, it will just be nothing more than a sermon. So we pray that thou wilt still our hearts, that there will be given to us that holy attention to the things of God, a holy interest in the word of God, and give to thy servant that freedom to preach, thus saith the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We know very little about this man named Jabez, except that he was more honorable than his brethren, and that he was called Jabez, which means sorrow or grief, because there was some kind of grief or sorrow associated with his birth. That's how the Jews named their children. They didn't go into a book or a website and try to find out what should we name this child. They took it very seriously. And there was something that happened that caused his parents to call him sorrow, grief, Jabez. In his case, it was the cloudy skies, dark times that came before the sunny days. There was sorrow at first, but then there was honor and blessing. William Cowper wrote, "The path of sorrow, and that path alone, leads to the land where sorrow is unknown. No traveler ever reached that blessed abode who found not thorns and briars in his road." If ever a man could write about that experience, it was William Cowper, who suffered depression all his life and actually died in a state of depression. The general rule of the ways of God with his people is that we first have to sow in tears before we're going to reap in joy. The work of God has cost God's people many tears, difficulties and disappointments, setbacks have battered the heart of the Lord's people relentlessly at times. But those works for God that have cost us a whole lot by way of sorrow, grief, and tears have often turned out to be, in the providence of God, the ones that God has blessed the most. The thing that brought us so much pain was the very thing that ended up bringing us much joy. You should expect a blessing in serving God if you are enabled to persevere through a whole lot of grief you should expect blessing. I say again that Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, even though he was the child whom his mother bore for some reason with great sorrow. While there's not a whole lot the Scripture tells us about Jabez, we do learn from his life, even in these two short verses, we do learn from his life that who you are is far more important than who you appear to be. And this has echoes of what we were looking at last Lord's Day evening with the church of Sardis. You have a name that you're alive, but in reality, Christ said you're dead. See, what's far more important is who we are, not who we appear to be, not what people think we are. I say that because just after stating that Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, the Holy Spirit immediately says in the very next verse, and Jabez called on the God of Israel. I wonder if that wasn't intimating that Jabez was more prayerful than his brothers. He was more honorable than his brothers, and he called upon the God of Israel. At the very least, God has linked the honor of Jabez in those two verses with his praying. Can't get around that one. He has linked honor with his praying. You see, as McShane said many years ago, what we are in prayer, we are, and no more. That was his statement. What we are in prayer, we are, and no more. Not only does that mean that the state of our prayer life is intimately connected with what kind of spiritual life we're living, but it also means that it is in the place of prayer that the real character of the man or the woman comes out. In the place of prayer, in the place of private prayer particularly, that the real character comes out. Jabez, you see, not only had a reputation of being an honorable man, but the reality of his honorableness showed itself in his prayer life. In fact, I would say that he was the man he was in appearance because he was the man that he was in secret. He was what people thought him to be because that's what he was in the place of prayer. That is why I say that the teaching of Scripture is that who we are is far more important than who we appear to be, than what people think of us. We're living in a day when this truth has been turned upside down. Today's culture says that what we appear to be is more important than what we really are. Character, a man's personal integrity, seems to be thrown out the window. Personal integrity, they seem like foreign terms, outdated to today's generation. Uprightness, integrity, have been replaced with personality or ability. This means that if you've got a winning personality, character doesn't matter. If you're winsome, character doesn't matter. Integrity doesn't matter. Uprightness, it's no big deal. This is the day of personalities. The people who are lifted up as role models in our society are, for the most part, not people of character, but they're simply personalities. Whether It's the movie stars, the sports stars, the politicians, who all have the name, famous, power, wealth. It's personality. It's not character. In fact, if you look into their characters, what they really are, you'll find the vast majority of them have very poor character, very low moral integrity. And we're now reaping the results of such a mindset in our nation. Sadly, that's even found its way into the church, where it's personalities that get the attention, not the character of the man. So I say again, what we are is more important than what we appear to be, and what we are in prayer, therefore we are, and no more. God has given us a little glimpse into the life of a man whom the Holy Spirit has called forever, memorialized in the Scriptures as honorable. And believe you me, if it's in the Scriptures, it's there for us to learn doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. In other words, there's something here we're supposed to learn from this man about him, and more importantly, about his God. Something that we are to emulate. As I was thinking about the end of the year, and this being the last Lord's Day I'll preach in this church for 2015, I was drawn to this prayer of Jabez. This isn't the message I was planning on preaching tonight, but I was drawn to this prayer. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. What a prayer to pray as we approach a new year. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. This honorable man whom God has set apart in Scripture. You want to take his prayer to heart. Let's look at it, please, this prayer of Jabez. Number one, Jabez prayed that God would bless him indeed. It's the four points, the four parts, petitions of the prayer will make up my sermon. He prayed that God would bless him indeed. That was his first request. That's the key word here in that petition, is the word indeed. He didn't simply say that thou wouldst bless me. That thou wouldst bless me indeed. What does that mean? Well, it obviously means he was asking God to bless him with real, honest to goodness, unmistakable, genuine blessing. The best blessing to have. There'd be no mistaking it. He wouldn't have to wonder, is this really the blessing of God in my life, or am I being deceived? To say, Lord, bless me indeed, is to bless me in such a way that there is no one, including myself, that could make a mistake about interpreting what's happening. It's the blessing of God. It's not something that men have worked up. It's not something that I have done for myself. It is something that has come down from heaven to earth. It's come from God into our lives. That's the blessing he's praying for. Pleading for. Bless me indeed, Lord. He didn't want a blessing that was just in name only, that only appeared to be the blessing of God. He wanted the reality of blessing. We can ask God for many things. Many blessings And sometimes what we think is a blessing would not be a blessing at all. But Jabez wanted a blessing from the hand of God that was of God's choosing, not his. Yeah, that's a big one. I want you to bless me indeed. I want the blessing that you choose for me, not the one necessarily that I'm praying for. I just want you to bless me. And we'll get to the specifics of the blessings he's asking for in a moment. But he wants the blessings of God's choosing. Certainly part of praying, as we think about how we should be praying for this, how you should be praying for this congregation, you should be praying faithfully, regularly for this congregation, for this church. Lord, that you would bless us indeed, truly, really. There'd be no mistaking it. You couldn't call it anything else, but God has done this. God is blessing. Part of that asking the Lord to bless indeed would be the saying, Lord, now not my will but thine be done. Because I'm not always so clear on what the best blessing is. Sometimes we look at God's best blessings that he sent into our lives as curses because our thinking is really messed up. We're interpreting our circumstances not in light of Scripture, but we're leaning upon our own understanding of the situation, and that always gets us into trouble. Craving the blessing of God is a good thing, but you want to be very careful when you say to that place, Lord, I want this blessing. I must have this blessing. You don't want to set up your will against the will of God. That's why you pray for it to be a blessing indeed. I read about a time back in the days of the Puritans. There was a woman who had a little child, and it was very sick, just about to die. And she asked for her minister, he was a Puritan, to come and to pray for her little child who was sick. He prayed very earnestly. As you can imagine, if you know anything about the Puritans, they would have just prayed earnestly, as that's how they prayed. He prayed very earnestly for God to spare that child's life. And then he added, if it be thy will. She didn't like that. She said, I cannot bear that. I must have you pray that the child shall live. Do not put any ifs or buts in your prayer. The Puritan told the woman, it may be you will live to rue the day that ever you wish to set your will up against God's will. And that's exactly what happened. At 20 years of age, she saw that boy hang from the gallows as a criminal. It would been far wiser for her to have prayed, if it is thy will, spare my child. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. Jabez also prayed for something else. Secondly, his borders to be extended. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast. That word coast in the Hebrew means border or boundaries or landmark. And it would appear from these two verses that one of the reasons that Jabez in the eyes of God was more honorable than his brothers was because he wanted to take the land that was his. He wanted God to enlarge his coast. In other words, Jabez was not content with living like the rest of Israel. He didn't want to be surrounded by the enemies of God, the pagans, the Gentiles who were in the land, whose presence in that land were a very mockery to God's promises to Israel. So Jabez wanted all the land that God would give him. Enlarge my coast. I want more land. And of course, you can almost hear somebody say, oh, Jabez is really praying for health and wealth. He's praying for temporal blessings, preacher. Not spiritual. I would say to that, not so fast. Jabez was living during or shortly after the days of Joshua, who had led the Israelites into the land of Canaan. That's why there's this reference to his coast, his border. You may or may not remember that Joshua had some difficulty in getting the people of Israel to go in and possess the land that God had given them. Right? They were backward about that. So much so that in Joshua 13 verse 1, now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. He's an old man now, and still there's a whole lot of land that God had given them that hadn't been possessed by the Israelites. So Joshua is now an old man. And there are Israelites who have not seen the fulfillment of the promise of God. Throughout the land of Canaan, there still dwelt the enemies of the Lord, enemies to his cause, enemies to the work of God, enemies to the truth, enemies to the sacrifices of Israel, which pointed out the gospel, enemies to their praise of Jehovah, enemies to that theocracy. All around them. However, there were new victories waiting to be won. Yet the children of Israel were very slow to extend their borders. They had gotten content with where they were. They had settled down. And who among us has yet taken possession? Because you understand, we're not just dealing with the history of the facts of Israel. We're dealing with spiritual truths. We're dealing with imagery and symbolism, parallels. Which one of us, as the children of God, have failed to go in and to possess the land that God has promised us? How much land have we left untouched? Land of blessing. Our privileges as Christians, as members of the Church of Christ, heirs of the kingdom of heaven, I'd have to say these things to a large degree have been undervalued and slowly appropriated. What coasts there are of unpossessed spiritual territory that awaits you and me. We haven't even touched it. How much of the Word of God remains comparatively unexamined by the average Christian? Just don't even venture into that territory. We have our favorite parts. We like to read. And we read them again and again. But our prayer should be, should it not, Lord, enlarge our coasts in the Word. The parts that we even know that are familiar to us, even then, we pay them only an occasional glance, cursory glance, without digging. Digging. Like there's a mine there, we believe there's a mine of silver, of treasure. If I told you tonight, in my backyard, I know beyond all shadow of a doubt, there is a treasure that's buried. It's 500 feet down. It's more gold and silver and jewels than you could ever imagine. And if you want it, it's yours. I imagine there'd be one or two of you on my doorbell as soon as daylight came tomorrow morning, and someone would have a backhoe. It'd be a lot to rent something like that and to hire the man to run it, but you wouldn't really care about that because you know what's at the bottom of that 500-foot hole. I'm now talking about the real riches of the Word of God. That you have to dig for. How little practical use do we make of God's promises? So we need to pray, oh, that thou wouldst enlarge my coast. In other words, Jabez did not want to live confined in those narrow bounds, those boundaries that he had at present. He wanted God to expand it. It's a spiritual truth. See, are we content with living right where we are spiritually? Are we content with our spiritual life, with our progress? Or do we want, do we crave, do we long for more? Or has Satan so done a job on our thinking that we think, well, this is good enough. Or I can't get any more than this. I've reached the zenith of what I can grasp and what I can enjoy. And if that in any way, shape, or form is part of your thinking, I will tell you now, you have bought into the lie of hell. That's just not true. The Word of God holds out far. We haven't begun to scratch the surface, but there's more to be experienced. The problem is, it's our desire for our borders to be enlarged. I hear someone saying, do I hear someone saying, I'm too old? I don't buy it. I want to feel this way. I want to believe this. When I'm an old, decrepit, you might think I'm that now, but I'm not. When I'm old and decrepit, this is what I want to believe with all my heart. There's still something more I can have and I can enjoy. It is holy ambition that longs for more territory. You know, it's going to be kind of hard to do that when you've got holy ambition for worldly territory. Really hard to do that. You just don't have the time to do both. Where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. Where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. And so there is much need, as we come to another year, to make this the prayer for ourselves, for our church. Lord, enlarge our coasts, enlarge our borders. Lord, enlarge the coasts of our pastor. Lord, bless him indeed. Because, Lord, it's when he's blessed indeed that we'll be blessed indeed. When his own borders are increased, ours will get increased as well. Don't let him become content with where he is. Give him, Lord, more hunger, this desire of Jabez. And pray that. Don't just think he needs to be a better preacher. Pray it. Lord, enlarge his coasts. Thirdly, he prays for God's hand to be with him. And that thine hand might be with me. Now, it's very important to see that truth and its connection with the truth right before it. Enlarge our coast and that your hand might be with me. That's for two things it teaches. Number one, Jabez was convinced that he needed God's hand with him if he was going to be successful in enlarging his coasts. He couldn't do it without the Lord. Waste of time. Evidently, Jabez was thoroughly persuaded that without the Lord's hand, he could do nothing. God is the only one who has the power that's going to bring that about. He wants it, but he knows that he can't do it without God's hand. Jabez knows right well that the battle is the Lord's. And that, brothers and sisters, is something that we so quickly forget. This battle that we're in, this battle for more progress, for spiritual growth, for more fruit. And it is a battle. This battle is not ours, ultimately. It's the Lord's battle. Without me, Christ said, you can do nothing. And the means of grace, whether that be our prayer life, whether it be our study of Scripture, whether that be preaching, whether that be the Lord's table, the means of grace are nothing if we don't have grace with the means. That's my point. They're nothing. You can read, you can pray, you can attend church, you can sing, all those things. But there's got to be grace with those things. Or it won't do anything for your soul. And don't miss the humility that marks this man's prayer. He's not proud. He goes out of himself feeling, knowing that all of his resources come from God. He's conscious of his own weakness, of his own danger, if he doesn't have the Lord's hand with him. I'm in trouble. I will not survive. If I go out against these Canaanites to enlarge the coast, I will not survive if your hand is not with me. Therefore, if we are going to take our cue from Jabez, who is more honorable than his brothers, then we must pray like him. Because we need the Lord's hand. It's an interesting study in Scripture, but you'll find that you're going to need the Lord's hand to steer you. You and I have found ourselves in a dilemma more than one time in life. Trouble has come because we have tried to do the steering ourselves. We find ourselves in a place and we don't know what to do. It's just as I was, that's what I was dealing with in New York. The prayer of Jehoshaphat, we have no might against the enemy that's come against us, neither know we what to do. And he was saying that, I have to point this out, he was saying that as the king of Judah. He had all the people there, the men, the women, and the little children. And here's the king, the one who is set as the leader, supposed to know what to do. He made himself very vulnerable. And you know, when you get to true prayer, you really make yourself very vulnerable. He was being quite frank. He was being dead honest with God. I know I'm the king, but I don't know what to do. And he was saying that before all the people. Wasn't any pride there with him? You found that sometimes in a public prayer meeting. You just don't want to say some things because it just might not put you in the best light. Here's the king praying publicly and says, Lord, we don't know what to do. And Lord, we don't have any might. What a public confession to make to God. The psalmist prayed in Psalm 139, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me. The prayer would be, would it not, Lord, just take me by the hand like a father would his child and lead him. Because, Lord, that's all I am, as a little child. I like people to think I'm all grown up, but, Lord, I just heard that man say tonight, it's not appearance, it's what we are that really matters. And, Lord, what I really am is a little child. I am weak and I am weary. And I don't know which way to turn. Take me by the hand and lead me. The hand of God to shield us. Jabez was going into enemy territory, I'll tell you that. They were not going to just sit idly by and let Jabez come in and just run them out. There was going to be opposition. And the enemy will come against us every time we seek to enlarge our coasts. Anytime you get dead on earnest about enlarging your spiritual borders, the enemy is not going to sit idly by and just let it happen. Therefore, we need the hand of God to shield us, to guard us from any and every attack that will come against us. We got to pray this. We have got to pray this. We need the hand of God to strengthen us. Battling for new territory, spiritual territory, is difficult. It's easy to get content with where you are and get into that little groove. When you've tried and tried to make advances and have seen so little accomplished, and you grow weak and you do grow weary in the battle, you just want to quit. And sometimes, like Moses, you would just rather die. Lord, just take me on. I can't take any more of this. But that's where you cry to God to strengthen, to support with His hand. His hand. That was Ezra as he undertook to lead Israel back from Babylon, back to Jerusalem. He was aware of his own weakness. Here's what Ezra says in chapter 7 of his book. I was strengthened as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me. So, he is aware, Jabez is. We've got to be aware that any kind of enlargement, any kind of blessing, we're going to have the hand of God, which is just another term in Scripture for the Spirit of God, upon us. And if we're not praying, as that man prayed, for the hand of God to be upon us, we're only playing. We are only playing. We're not dead in earnest about what we say. We want to grow. We want to mature. We want to have more fruit. We want to be more like Christ. Take the cue from Jabez. That thy hand would be with me. But there's something else about the hand. Notice what he says. That thy hand would be with me. That's the other side. He didn't think for one moment that in praying for the hand of the Lord to be with him, that his own hand would just be idle and do nothing. I want your hand to be with my hand. Both our hands in tandem, working, fighting, laboring, praying together. He knew he had to do something about it. In other words, it wasn't just a matter, I need to pray about this. You do need to pray about it. But there comes a time when the praying stops and the doing starts. He's going to an area where he wants his coasts enlarged, and he asks God for his hand to be with him. Because, Lord, I'm going into those coasts. I'm going into this territory of the Canaanites. I'm going to be doing it. I want you to go with me. You see, one of the fundamental truths about the Christian life, it is our bounden duty before God to combine effort with prayer. When we are wanting to make any new advancement, when we wish to enlarge our coast, we want to be brought to greater fields of service, more usefulness in the kingdom. We want more holiness. We want more faith for the trials. We want more patience with our circumstances, more patience with people. We want more humility. We want more death to self. We want more to know what it is to take up the cross and follow Jesus Christ and all the Christian graces, when there remains yet very much land to be possessed. Like Jabez, we must pray as if we could do nothing, and then work as if we could do everything. That's the combination. Dr. Beakey was speaking about the Puritans and their preaching this past week in New York. One of the comments he said that when the Puritan preacher stepped into the pulpit, they preached as if their praying could, they preached as if their preaching could actually save the lost. But they knew that only God could save the lost. That's the idea here. I want your hand to go with me. We can talk all day long. We can talk to death about our needs for our borders to be enlarged spiritually. We can pray all day long about it, but there's got to come the point in time where we actually do something. It's one thing to pray for lost souls. It's something else to go out into the byways and highways and compel them to come in. It's one thing to pray for spiritual advancement. It's something else to pick up your sword and, to take the words of John Bunyan, go cutting and hacking. The land of Canaan belonged to Israel. It was a done deal. God said, this land flowing with me, it's all yours. And he's done the same thing with you and me. We have already been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It is a done deal. We've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. It is a done deal. That has been done by God. It's been secured by our mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. Every covenant blessing has been secured by the blood. But that does not mean that we simply sit back, put our feet up, and say, well, Lord, here I am. Just pour them out upon me. If we think for one moment there's not going to be, need to be, an active seeking and laboring for those things, we are living in cloud cuckoo land. It's not going to happen. What we have obtained, it's been by the grace of God, but it's also been through our seeking God, our laboring. Isn't that what Paul said? Whereunto I also labor according to his working which worketh in me mightily. I labor, God labors. You and I can pray for the blessing and the victory of growth, whether we're talking about spiritual growth or numerical growth, but unless we actually get off our knees and do something, the land will not be ours. You know well the story of Joshua when he was there crying before God because they were defeated at Ai. They thought after beating Jericho, no one will stand before us. Didn't even bother praying about it, just went on. We got these boys, and they were just driven back. And there's Joshua crying to God, why has this happened? God said, get up off your feet. There's sin in the camp. you're not going to go forward until you deal with the sin. Achan, of course, and his family are put to death. They had to take action. They had to do something. And until they did something about the sin in the camp, there wasn't any more advancement. That's a lesson we need to take to heart. Jabez finally prayed to be kept from evil. That thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it might not grieve me. He knew well that evil was the source of his grief. Therefore, his prayer was for holiness and happiness. He wants to be happy. That theme comes up again and again and again. He wants to be happy. God made him like that. Yes, so he prays. Thou wouldst keep me, guard me from sin, that it wouldn't grieve me. There are no holier people and therefore no happier people than the people who are kept from evil. It's when evil enters that holiness declines. And when holiness declines, happiness always declines with it. Perhaps the very name that his mother gave him at birth was used of God to bring him to understand that truth in a special way. You see, the Hebrew root word for grieve is the same root word for the name Jabez. It's the same. This is the last petition in his prayer. Keep me from evil. What's the last petition in the Lord's Prayer? Deliver us from evil. Evil from without, evil from within. And God granted him that which he requested. He wasn't going too far when he prayed for this. God gave it to him. So we can pray with the same confidence because this God has not changed from that day of Jabez to right now. He is the same God. What a prayer to make as we enter into a new year. Lord, that thou wouldst bless us indeed. May God make that our daily prayer. Bless us indeed. Let's bow our heads in prayer and seek the Lord together. Father in heaven, we do bless thee in Jesus' name for thy word, for this promise. Lord, we want the territory that's rightfully ours. May the Spirit of God be given to us in abundant measure that we might be stirred. Not, Lord, a passing emotion that just lasts a day, maybe, but we want, Lord, to wake up with that desire for thee. We want to find out, Lord, what it's like to live moment by moment with a desire for our God and for his blessing upon us. Hear our cry and answer it as thou didst the prayer of Jabez, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.